say I belong to you. Apart from the things I do, you say I belong to you. I'm in awe of why you do, why you do, why you do. I'm in awe of you.
This is Corey from Bible Baptist Church in West Union, Ohio. You're listening to Here's Hope with Pastor Tim Carter. Let's listen to the message.
This week, we're kind of leaning toward the book of Matthew, chapter number 2, off of just a portion of scripture that the Lord just really brought to my mind and heart this week as the one to preach on. God had told them as they're coming out of chapter 4, getting ready to go into the New Testament, he said, the Son of Righteousness is coming. Not the S-O-N, Son of Righteousness. He said the Son of Righteousness, referring to the fact that when the Messiah came, he would be a light, like the sun. Well, so you get into the book of Matthew, chapter number 2, and those of you, you know, we've had the birth of Christ recounted to us, and the angels that said, behold, I give you good tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And so it's a fascinating story to me that here's the angels announcing the birth of Christ, and then the shepherds come over and they are looking at the Messiah, the child. You'll find the Messiah, the child. He'll be wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. And they came there to Bethlehem and they found the Christ child, even as the angel had told them it was. And then it seems like that there's a little break in the story. The next ones that show up on the scene are these wise men. And we have these terms that we say over the years of wise men still seek Jesus. And we have a long list of quotes and sayings that we have in regards to the fact that people who really are wise still seek after the Christ. And it's true. But have you ever stopped and wondered where these men came from? We don't know. East. They came from the east. Some people say those wise men were on a journey of 6 months to get there. Some people say they came from so far away it took them a year. We don't know. East could have been modern-day Jordan. It could have been a week's trip. It could have been on over from Iraq or even Iran, and it could have taken them weeks or months to get there. But the next ones that we read of that show up on the scene that really are acknowledging the Christ are these wise men from who knows where, off to the east. And does anybody ever stop and ask ourselves the question, how did they know to follow a star? I mean, we know they followed a star, right? And that's the amazing thing. And there's a star, Bethlehem, and we have songs about it and how these wise men from who knows exactly where in the east, they came and they brought gold and frankincense and myrrh, and they showed up. By the time they come on the scene, it's not a baby anymore, but he's a little child, and we know that he's under the age of 2, the Christ child is. We don't know whether he was 6 months old or a year and a half, but what we know is these wise men show up out of the blue. We normally put them on at the manger scene, but they weren't there, we don't believe, actually at the manger scene, but here they show up. Some men from someplace in the east. All we know is the thing that signaled them to show up was a star. And where in the world did they get that, to know that the Messiah had come in the world from a star? Now, if you were to do some reading, you would find that there's a couple of ideas about where they in fact came from, because there were a couple of prophecies that were given, not specifically from the nation of Israel, but were actually given farther over in the east. A guy by the name of Daniel, we'll get to him here in just a few minutes, but Daniel. And then there's a guy, a prophet, that most all of us who are believers, we absolutely can't stand. His name is Balaam. A prophet that his name resonates with giving advice how to actually ruin believers rather than doing good to them. So we don't know. Well, we do know Matthew chapter number 2, verse number 1, it goes like this. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, Now, the Messiah, he wasn't born at Jerusalem. He was born in Bethlehem, which was about 5 miles to the south of the city of Jerusalem. But when these guys show up on the scene, they actually show up at the city of Jerusalem, or we would call it the capital of the nation of Israel, saying, they have a question, where is he that is born the King of the Jews? Where's he at? Where's the little boy that's been born that's the King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and in fact, they say, we're come to worship him. And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled. Herod, if you don't know it, was a Roman ruler, and he didn't like anybody potentially challenging the throne that he possessed there in that day. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where the Christ should be born. When he demanded of the scribes, why would he ask the chief priests, the religious leaders and the scribes of the day, why would he ask them where the Christ child was to be born? The answer is because we had already been told. And the Old Testament prophets, they had foretold a lot of things about the Messiah, the Christ that was going to come on the scene. In fact, if I could just take maybe a minute or two to give you maybe part of the list. The Messiah, when he was going to come on the scene, the Old Testament said he was going to be born from the line of Abraham. We call that family the Jewish people. That the Messiah would be a descendant of Isaac. That the Messiah would be a descendant of Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. That when the Messiah came, he would come from the family of Judah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then Judah. That he would be a descendant from Jesse, and then the Bible went on to tell us that he's going to sit on the throne of David. He's going to be a descendant of David, King David, that killed Goliath with the stone. We're told further that when the Messiah comes on the scene, he's going to be born of a woman. He's specifically going to be born of a virgin woman. They would call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us or God in a human body. That the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem of Judea, that he would spend a season of his time in Egypt, and that a massacre of children would happen at the birthplace of the Messiah. Interesting. All these things foretold in the Old Testament. If you were going to look and you were Herod and you wanted to know where the Messiah was going to be born, where would you look? And the answer is the Bible. Now, they didn't have the New Testament that we have today, but they had the Old Testament. They didn't have the ability to mass produce copies of the Old Testament like what we have, but they had those prophets and they had foretold, and over and over and over again, there were these prophecies that foretold about when the Messiah or the Christ came, where he would come from, what family line he would be a part of, what he would be like, that he would be a messenger, would be sent before him, a guy we now know by the name of John the Baptist, that Messiah would be rejected by his own people, that he would heal the brokenhearted, that he would bring light to the area of Galilee, which was a northern area of Israel where he did most of his miracles. He would heal people, that he would restore sight, give hearing to the deaf, the lame would walk. He would speak in parables, and that Messiah would be called King. He would be referred to as a Nazarene, referring to him, they believe, being a despicable man. But he was not. Simply, he came from an area of Nazareth as he grew up, and they didn't have a high opinion of folks that came from Nazareth. Can any good thing, they said, come from Nazareth? He would be betrayed by a friend. He would be sold for X number of pieces of silver. He would be falsely accused. He would be silent before his accusers. He would be spit upon and struck. He would be hated without a cause. He would be crucified with criminals. They would give him vinegar to drink. They would pierce his feet and his hands. And they said this, all this stuff, before he ever entered on the scene. Some of them hundreds, some of them thousands of years before the Messiah ever came on the scene, it began to prophesy and to tell us one by one, here's how you're going to know the Messiah is on the scene. They would give him vinegar to drink. They would pierce his hands and feet, that he would be mocked and ridiculed, according to the book of Psalms, that soldiers would gamble for his clothing, that Messiah's bones, not a bone of him would be broken, that he would be forsaken by God. He would pray for his enemies, that soldiers would pierce the Messiah's side, that Messiah would be buried with the rich, and that he would die as a sacrifice for our sins. All told in the Old Testament. If you were going to ask, where's the Messiah going to be born, where would you look? Because the Old Testament told us all that. That's not all. It said that he would die and that he would resurrect from the dead. Psalms. It said Messiah would ascend up into heaven, also found in the book of Psalms, and that Messiah would be seated at the right hand of God. And Daniel even said, he's coming back. Isaiah said, of the increase of his government, there will be no end. That this Messiah, when he came, he would continue to take over territory and property. And of the increase of his government, there would be no end. And they would call him, Isaiah chapter 9, Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You want to know about the Messiah coming on the scenes? You read the Old Testament of the Bible. It told us all about him before he ever came. Well, so in the book of Matthew, chapter number 2, when these wise men show up, we don't know how long exactly after the birth of Christ, they are there at Jerusalem where Herod was, and we came to see him that's born King of the Jews, and Herod goes, boys, get the Old Testament scriptures out and tell me where the Messiah, the Christ, is going to be born. Well, they come back with an answer, chapter number 2, verse number 4. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. But still I ask myself this question, how in the world did these guys know where to go? Now, could have been the fact that in the book of Daniel, chapter number 9, they knew that the time that the Christ was to show up was there. It's interesting. We don't have to wonder when the Messiah was going to be on the scene. The Messiah is not coming for the first time today. He's already been here 2,000 years ago. In fact, in the book of Daniel, chapter number 9, it told us that the Messiah was going to show up at a very specific period of time, and that was about 2,000 years ago. X number of years from when the command goes forth to rebuild the temple, that from that point in time, X number of years, and the Messiah isn't just going to be here, but he's going to be cut off. He's going to be killed. It told us if we could have known exactly which decree it was made by the government at the time, we could have known the exact year that the Messiah was going to be killed on the cross. So it was no surprise that the time that he came on the scene, because the people that understood the Old Testament, they knew that it was about time for the Lord to show up. And then in the book of Numbers, if you would turn there, put a marker here in the book of Matthew. We're going to be back. But I'd like for you to go back to the book of Numbers, chapter number 24. Numbers, chapter 24. And this is where we're going to kind of bear down here for just a few minutes before we get back to the New Testament and talk about this guy by the name of Balaam that we believers in the New Testament can't stand. The guy was a prophet, but he was a prophet for hire. He didn't care as much about the things of God as he cared about his own self and his own stuff. The people of Israel had come out of Egypt. They're on their way as God's heading them toward the promised land, and they're coming through a piece of property that is east of the nation of Israel. It's modern day Jordan, the southern part of modern day Jordan. They could have known about the Messiah coming on the scenes by what Daniel said when Daniel gave the prophecy, chapter number 9. He was actually in Babylon, which is modern-day Iraq. So these wise men could have known about the Messiah coming on the scene, about the time he would be here, by work that Daniel had done that was originally done over in Iraq. We just know he was a Jewish boy. But in Jordan, there was this other guy by the name of Balaam. He had a pretty good name going for himself as a person that was a prophet, but Truth is, he's extremely selfish. And as the people of Israel are coming out of Egypt and they're heading toward the promised land, the king of the Moabites, he sent some guys over to this prophet Balaam and he said, you know, we want you to come and curse the Jewish people. Because we believe that if you curse them, that it'll create some real problems for them. Well, Balaam, he talked to God and God said, don't curse the nation of Israel. And Balaam said to the messengers, he said, look, God said, I can't curse them. They came back and they said, well, tell you what, we're going to make you a rich man. All you got to do is you just come over here with us and curse the nation of Israel. And he's like, let me talk to God about it and see what God says. And God had already told him, no way, Bubba. He goes back to God again and God's aggravated with him because the only reason he would ask whether it was okay to go the second time is he's thinking about the money that he could get if he would just curse God's people. God said, go ahead and go, Balaam. Even though God the first time had told him, don't go, but it's obvious that he's going to go anyway. But he said, if you go over there, you're only going to be allowed to say what I tell you. On the way over, he has a run-in with an angel. We've been talking about that message a week or two ago. But long story made short, they take him up into this one area of the hill overlooking the nation of Israel, the Jewish people down there in the valley. And he opens up his mouth because he really wants to curse God's people, because if he can curse them, he's going to get some big money. But when he opened his mouth to curse them, all that came out was a blessing. And the king said, I brought you up here to curse the people of Israel, and you put a blessing on them. He said, I told you I can't say anything except what God told me. They said, well, come over here to this other place. And they take him to another place, and they're like, now curse him. And he tried to open his mouth to curse the people of Israel, and out comes a blessing. Did you ever know anyone that tried to say something, but God wouldn't let them say what they really wanted to say? What he really wanted to do was to place a curse on the people of Israel, but you can't curse what God's blessed. The king said, I hired you to curse them. And they take him to this third location. And he said, look, I'm telling you, I can't say anything other than what God tells me to say. But the third location, they try to get him to curse the people of Israel. That's where we find ourselves in Numbers chapter number 24. Now listen, this guy was a no good prophet that was out for himself, far above the things of God. And it just so happened that if God can control a donkey's mouth, he can, when we're trying to say something bad, he can make something good come out. Numbers chapter number 24, verse number 10. And Balak, he's the king of the Moabites. His anger was kindled against Balaam. That's the bad prophet. And he smote his hands together. And Balak said unto Balaam, I called thee to curse mine enemies. And behold, thou hast altogether blessed them these three times. Therefore now flee to thy place. I thought to promote thee unto great honor, but lo, the Lord has kept you back from honor. I was going to promote you, but I ain't promoting you if you won't curse the Jewish people. And Balaam said to Balak, spake I not also to thy messengers which thou sentest unto me, saying, if Balaam would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the commandment of the Lord to do either good or bad of mine own mind, but what the Lord saith, that will I speak. Now, this is something that probably most all of us have read but never really thought much about. And he took up this parable. The last prophecy that we know of that Balaam issued was a prophecy that he decreed. Now, he gave some really horrible advice to the enemies of the nation of Israel. In fact, when you get to the book of Revelation, it's called the Way of Balaam, the Doctrine of Balaam, that Balaam pulled the king aside and he's like, now king, here's how this deal is going to go down. I can't curse what God has blessed, but let me tell you how to get God's people. If you can get them involved in sin, it'll bring the judgment of God upon them. You want to bring down God's people, here's all you got to do. Lure them into sin. When they get involved in sin, God will discipline his own people. But as an outsider, I remember years and years ago, I had a young man that was he was involved in white witchcraft. And I remember him saying to me, he's like, if you basically don't start talking to me better, he said, I'm going to put a curse on you. Now, as a young Christian guy, I thought, you know, that's not cool. But what I began to realize as I got older is I was a born-again believer at that time. Our argument that we were having, or disagreement really was more than an argument, was over whether Mary was a virgin and Jesus was really the Christ. The dispute that we were having was whether Jesus is God alone or whether I'm a God, you're a God, the tree's a God, dogs are gods. And he gets mad at me and he's like, look, I'll put a curse on you. And I began to wonder, can an unbeliever curse one of God's kids? And the answer to that is, no, you can't. Because you cannot curse what God has blessed. But if I want to get you, all I got to do is get a Christian teenager to do some things that God says directly are wrong. And you will bring trouble into your own life. That's the doctrine of Balaam. It's the way of Balaam. It was horrible advice. And we look back today and we have nothing but ill thoughts toward Balaam, but there was a day on this day where God gave him a vision of something, some words. Now look at verse number 15 and 16. And he took up this parable. Balaam, the son of Beor, has said, and the man whose eyes are open, he's like, I see something. Here's what I'm going to say. Look at verse 16 very closely. He has said, which heard the words of God. I heard what God said. And knew the knowledge of the Most High. I'm going to say what God told me, and this is coming from the knowledge of God, which saw the vision of the Almighty falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. Look at verse 17. Now listen closely. I shall see him. And I wonder, who's he talking about? But I won't see him now, he said. Here's the wisdom of God, the word of God. I'll see this person, but I'm not going to see him now. I shall behold him, but not nigh, but he's not here. There shall come a star out of Jacob. Now what? And you see the capital S on star, that's a proper name. And when Jesus comes on the scene, what we know is that one of the names of the Messiah is he's the bright and the morning, what? Star. The son of righteousness, Malachi called him. He said, I see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but he's not near me right now. There shall come a star out of Jacob and a scepter. A scepter represents royal power or authority, and it speaks of the Messiah as a scepter, the royal authority that is God come to earth. That a royal scepter is going to arise out of Israel. Now the star is going to come out of Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel, who was the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. And the scepter is going to arise out of Israel. Where's the star coming from? And where's the scepter going to arise out of? And the answer to both questions is out of the nation of Israel. And he will smite the corners of Moab, and he will destroy, he says, all the children of Seth. He'll destroy all the children of Seth. And it's one of the most obscure statements that's made from a guy that, truthfully, we don't really care what the guy has to say very much as believers in the New Testament, because the guy is so messed up and twisted up. But I am reminded that there was this period of time in his life, even when he had ill intentions, to curse God's people and to curse them again for his own personal benefit, that when he opened up his mouth, God wouldn't let him say anything except what God himself wanted declared upon the nation of Israel. And this guy, in his last, like, remaining few words before he goes kind of off the pages of the scripture, he says, there's coming a star out of Jacob. There's coming a scepter out of the nation of Israel. He's coming. Those guys from the east, they didn't have the Bible like we have it. The New Testament didn't even exist back then. Jesus hadn't even come on the scene yet. These wise men, this is the amazing thing that really began to dawn upon me this morning as I thought through this scripture, that these guys had very little knowledge. They didn't have all of those scriptures that I gave you, that where the Christ is going to be born. They came to Jerusalem. What they had was a star and a word from God. And they saw that star in the east, and maybe it's very possible if we're using any Bible verse to say that a star is going to indicate the coming of the Christ, it was from Balaam in Numbers chapter number 24, verse number 17. And these guys saw his star, the Messiah. They saw his star, and they followed the star. You know the amazing thing it seems like from the story in the book of Matthew? That they see the star, and then there's a period of time that they don't see the star anymore. How would they know to go to Jerusalem unless they had a prophecy that they were able to get their hands on to know that the Messiah, the Christ, is coming through the nation of Israel? And so they show up. I mean, here's these wise men coming from the east. They've seen the star. We don't know how long they saw it. We don't know if it was just one time that they saw it before they got there, or if they followed it for a period of time and then it disappeared. What we do know is by the time they get to Jerusalem, they're not seeing the star anymore. They show up at the city of Jerusalem, which is what we would call the capital of that southern area, and they're asking Herod, where is the king of the Jews to be born? Because those guys don't even have the verse or the prophecy that he's going to be born in Bethlehem, which is 5 miles south. And we don't see the star is not directing us right at this particular moment. And we find some great wisdom from these wise men, as we'll talk about here in just a few minutes. When you go back to the book of Matthew, chapter number 2, for just a moment. Chapter 2 of the book of Matthew and verse number 5. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, thou Bethlehem in the hand of Judah art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Amen. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, he inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. When did you guys see the star? And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him. Now look at verse 9. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star. The star that began their journey who knows how long before. A few weeks, a few months, maybe a year that they're on this journey, that they loaded up their gold, frankincense, and myrrh because they're coming to Israel, because in Israel, his star, there's a star indicating that this Messiah has been born in the world. The star, the scepter. They show up over there. He says, go down and find him, and when you find him, you come back. Verse number 9. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east, or when they were in the east, it went before them. They come out, apparently, of this conversation with Herod. And he says, the Bible says in Bethlehem is where he's going to be born. When you find him, come back and tell me. And there the star appears. In fact, the Bible says that then they follow the star, which apparently was directly over by that point, the house that Joseph and Mary and the Christ child were at. Went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Verse 10, and when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. When they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, notice the worship comes first. The gifts come second. They fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And then in verse 12, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. I just want to stop for a few minutes and draw some wisdom from these wise men. Honestly, they put us to shame. I hate to just be so blunt, but they put us to shame. We have the Old Testament, we have the New Testament, we have all the prophecies of the Christ and the Messiah available to us. In fact, we've got computers you could get online. If you want to know if Jesus really is the Christ, just look it up. It's in the Bible. Just look it up. If you want to know if Jesus is the real deal, search the Scriptures, Jesus said, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they, the Scriptures, are they that speak of me.
You've been listening to Here's Hope, a ministry of Bible Baptist Church. Check us out online at hereshope.org. You can contact us by writing to Bible Baptist Church, P.O. Box 487, West Union, Ohio 45693, or by calling us at 937-544-1800. 1-800-273-1818. If you don't already attend another church...